You're listening to the Lone Star Gridiron Sports Network.
Man, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners tuning in on every platform that we are on. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, the LSG Network, the Lone Star Gridiron Sports Network. Make sure you guys tune in. And we are creating our new podcast, the XFL Zone with MM. That's right, Mark and Matt. We have XFL podcasts, and we will be covering the XFL as well. It's a shameless plug for our XFL podcast show that we are doing.
Hey, did you know that Lone Star Gridiron does mini helmets? Yeah, custom-designed mini helmets that match your school. When quality and attention to detail are important, choose authentic Lone Star Gridiron mini helmets. Our library currently has hundreds of different Texas high school football teams. If you don't see your helmet, reach out to us about creating one. And hey, they make the coolest fundraisers for your booster clubs. Go to LoneStarGridiron.com and look for mini helmets on the top menu bar.
Welcome to the show. This is Top Texas Prospects podcast show on the Lone Star Gridiron Network, the authority for high school football. We are wrapping up a big time state atmosphere here in the state of Texas. Going into 2020, we're just going to wrap up what we saw, some of the teams that we saw, and talk about the whole state championship weekend. I am Mark Henry, my co-host Matt Davidson.
How's it going, everybody?
We are Top Texas Prospects Show. All right, let's dive into it, Matt. We'll talk about the big game, Duncanville and North Shore, shortly. But let's start with some of the smaller games, especially a team that we saw and talked to, the Texarkana Pleasant Grove game of versus Wimberley. And we had Wimberley on earlier this year, head coach Doug Warren. So talk about a little bit about that game. It ended up being 35-21.
Yeah, it was a really good game. I thought Wimberley did everything they could to be in the game. They just came up short. You know, Pleasant Grove just had too much firepower. Pleasant Grove was able to dominate on defense and really make Wimberley one-dimensional by just being able to pass the ball. That enabled the defensive line from Pleasant Grove to be able to do what they wanted to do. So they really just kind of took advantage of the two Twin Towers. I'll let you talk about those guys in a second, but this, the defense from Pleasant Grove imposed their will and they ran the ball effectively on offense, and Pleasant Grove gets another title. So now, you know, Pleasant Grove is definitely a powerhouse right now. So we'll see what they have coming up next year and if they can get back here again. They've been getting back here for the past 3 years at state. They were very, very much fun to watch seeing Pleasant Grove get the W. Sad to see Wimberley, a former guest of the show, you know, go down like that. But, you know, we wish nothing but the best. It's a new year. It's a new season. Everybody's got new, you know, new skin on the wall. So we'll see what happens. But, Mark, you can just talk about a little bit about the defensive players that Pleasant Grove had and maybe a couple of side notes before we jump to the next ones.
Sure. This was a team out of East Texas that has been battle tested before. Pleasant Grove did come out on top, 35-21. Pleasant Grove's coached by Josh Gibson. And one of the standouts, and he's on the national stage, is defensive end, tight end, Landon Jackson. I mean, this guy was dominant. He's about 6'6". He comes off the edge. He plays both ways. I think he'll make his mark at the next level on the defensive side. And it was just a defensive dominant game that they had because Wimberley came in with a lot of hype. They were 12-3 going into the game, and Pleasant Grove just made a case for themselves as a powerhouse coming back into the next season. I mean, they've been doing this the last couple of years. So, again, that final score for a Division II championship game, 35-21. And, Matt, we'll go to another team out of East Texas, Carthage versus Waco La Vega, out of the Waco area is a powerhouse for a Division I. Carthage came out on top 42-28 in that one.
Yeah, Carthage just really dominated the line of scrimmage the entire game on offense and defense. They imposed their will. They were able to do what they needed to do, and that's run the ball, pass the ball when they wanted to. They really did everything that they wanted to. Carthage is a well-coached team, and they're very well-disciplined, and they're a juggernaut. I, you know, love to see what they might have in the future.
Yeah, and the Carthage Bulldogs are coached by Scott Serrata. Then they had top wide receiver, Kevontae Dixon, Ravon Ingram. I mean, these guys have been doing this and Carthage for the last couple of years. Carthage is one of the highly recruited areas in East Texas for a powerhouse. And it'd be interesting to see what the Bulldogs come back with next year. They don't rebuild. They just reload in that area. Again, this is another East Texas team. When you go down into the Piney Woods, you come out with big-time talent, and college recruiters have been looking at that for the last 10-plus years. So not a surprise the Bulldogs should be back in the mix. Again, that was the 4A Division I championship. Carthage on top of Waco La Vega, 42-28. And now we'll move to the 5A Division with the 5A Division I game, Matt. Denton Ryan versus Alvin Shadow Creek out of the Houston area. Denton Ryan out of the DFW Metroplex area. And Shadow Creek came out 28-22 on that one. Talk about that game.
Oh, it was a very exciting game with the quarterback drawn from Shadow Creek. He was just able to do whatever he wanted when he wanted. He was very good. But at the same time, you know, Denton Ryan was fighting. You know, they had the last second Hail Mary at the very end of the game. Came up short. Shadow Creek's defensive ends were just able to get to Denton Ryan's quarterback. The coach's son, Seth Hennigan, was under pressure the entire game. He was running around looking for, you know, who was ever open. He was trying to find Billy Bowman most of the time, and then he was able to find Drew Sanders a few times. And the other receiver that he has, Sanders, on the left side of the field, the big 6'5 wide receiver that came down with a touchdown that brought him within one touchdown at the very end of the game. But, you know, Shadow Creek was just too much talent. Shadow Creek got here last year. They came up short to Highland Park. Shadow Creek was not going to let that happen again. They were able to get victorious, beat a very good Denton Ryan team. We'll see what Denton Ryan has in the future, but kudos to Shadow Creek, and you can go ahead and talk about their head coach, Mark.
Yeah, Shadow Creek's head coach, second year in a row. This is a second year for their varsity program, Coach Brad Butler. Drones was actually in the game last year as a sophomore. He came in to spell the quarterback who got injured last year, and they came up short. This is more of an experience thing. These kids have been back to state for a second year in a row. They had a lot of experience, a lot of defensive speed, and I think they surprised Denton Ryan just a little bit. Of course, you had Drew Sanders, Billy Baldwin Jr., Jatavian Sanders, and Seth Hennigan spearheading the Raiders' offense, and they were game. But I just think that they just came up short. They couldn't make certain plays, made several turnovers at the end. They did have a chance to win it, and Drew Sanders just couldn't come down with it. But a remarkable career for Drew Sanders, who's headed to Alabama. Again, Billy Bowman Jr. is coming back. Jatavian Sanders is coming back. So I think the Ryan Raiders and Coach Hennigan, they'll be back in the mix. I mean, they came up a little short, but Denton Ryan's been knocking on the door of a state championship the last 3 years. I mean, they had arguably one of the best quarterbacks in Spencer Sanders in Texas history. He was Gatorade Player of the Year his senior year. He's not Oklahoma State. So they breed talent in that area. Covering Denton Ryan the last few years, I've seen those guys, you know, Spencer Sanders and those guys, raise that program to another level under Coach Hennigan. So, you know, shout out to the Raiders. Shout out to Shadow Creek. The Sharks, state champions. Second year they get there, and this time they punch the ticket and win it. Again, that was the championship game for 5A Division I. The Ryan Raiders come up short to Alvin Shadow Creek, 28-22. And we'll move on, Matt, to 5A Division II, where the Aledo Bearcats faced Fort Bend Marshall. Both teams came in 14-1. But at the end, Aledo just outlasted the Marshall offense, which was starting to get, you know, rolling there in the fourth quarter. 45-42. Talk about that one.
Yeah, it was a rematch from last year's game, except the score was different. This year, Fort Bend Marshall was able to fight back and put up a lot more points than they did last year. And they made it a lot more closer than Aledo was ready for them to do. But Aledo really controlled the game the whole time because Aledo was out in front. Jace McClellan really dominated by running the ball. The Alabama commit able to do what he wanted on the field. Jake Bishop, the youngest out of all the Bishops with the illustrious careers that their family has had, all playing for Aledo, getting state titles all at the quarterback position. So he is the last Bishop, and what a way to go out by getting another state title. Mark, you've always covered Aledo. Just kind of talk about, you know, that run and how it feels like it might be an end of an era.
This is another team that doesn't rebuild. They just reload. Jake Bishop, Jace McClellan, Monty Parks, all of those guys have been together for 4 years. We're actually through middle school. I saw those guys in middle school coaching against them in 7-on-7 in middle school. And in some of the 7-on-7 games over the summers, these guys developed into playmakers. Of course, Jace McClellan gets all the headlines, a four-star recruit, Alabama commit, a longtime OU commit. But these other guys work just as hard. You got Monty Parks, a Utah signee, was out on the outside. He had two early touchdowns. Alito came out. They spread Fort Bend Marshall out and started to dominate with the running game. And even though that McClellan was not 100%, he was still able to hit the hole, get his yards, be that powerful bull of a back that he is, and really, you know, put Fort Bend Marshall in a predicament where they couldn't stop them. But then the second half, they made adjustments. You got Coach James Williams for the Marshall Buffaloes. That offense started to click. They started to make some passes. Malik Hornsby getting those guys open. Then they have one of the fastest running backs in the country in Devon Acme. This kid was one of the top track stars in 100 meters in the country. And Marshall had one of the top 4x1 relay teams in the country. As we witnessed every time that they scored and they had the track team run and, you know, do their flag. And we was with some of the other guys in the press box and on the field. That was a 4x1 track team. I mean, they breed speed over there. So for Alito to dominate and try to keep the ball away from them, that's what they wanted to do. That was the game plan coming in. But in the end, the Bearcat Magic, as they call it, Coach Buchanan got another one. That was number nine, the number nine title for the Alito Bearcats, which ties the state record. Next year, they'll be working on number 10. So again, Alito comes out on top 45-42 in the 5A Division II game. And we will go, before we get to the big one, we'll go with the 6A Division II game, Matt. Denton Guyer, Austin Westlake. Austin Westlake comes out on top 24-0. Talk about that one.
Yeah, Todd Dodge really able to go and, you know, take another team back to where the promised land is. And that's a place that's familiar for Todd Dodge, you know, getting a few titles when he was at Southlake. And now he's doing it with Austin Westlake. You're just happy for him. And his son is obviously Riley Dodge, who is the now coach of the Southlake Carroll Dragons, who's doing a phenomenal job in his second season going on third. And, you know, you're just real happy for Todd Dodge to be able to do that at Austin Westlake with Austin Westlake's illustrious history of all the big quarterbacks that have played there with players like Drew Brees, Nick Foles, and, of course, Sam Ehlinger at UT. So, you know, you got a lot to look forward to when you go play at Austin Westlake, knowing that the quarterback position is going to be developed. They're going to take care of you. And Westlake got the job done. They got a state title. You're excited for Todd Dodge to be able to get that done. But at the same time, you know, we covered Denton Guyer the whole season long. I covered Denton Guyer since they played against Toledo the first game of the year. I covered Kadrick Cobbs. We had him on the show. Deuce Harmon, friend of the show, good kid. Eli Stowers, quarterback, Denton Guyer, big deal going to A&M. Deuce is picking up a lot of offers. Just got one from Mississippi State today, I believe. Kadrick Cobbs played in the Polynesian Bowl, and he also gets everything that he deserves. He's got a lot of offers, namely UConn. You know, you just feel good for Kadrick Cobbs. He's a good story. He came from the bottom, and now he's here. You know, he rose up. Everybody was sleeping on him, and now he's starting to get a lot of offers. And Kadrick Cobbs deserves everything that he gets, and he's a friend of the show. We feel for Denton Guyer because we know that they know that if they would have had their quarterback, it might have been a different game. You know, Eli went down in the first quarter on the first possession, goes down, and then, you know, you don't see him again, and he's out for the whole game. And we understand that he had surgery, so he was able to get back to rehab. And, Mark, you just want to kind of talk about how that all, you know, went with Denton Guyer this season?
Yeah, we were there from the beginning against Alito that first game, which was like 60-57, back and forth. And we saw a team that we thought was going to be in the state championship, contending for a state championship right then and there. Again, Kadrick Cobbs, who I called the closer. I mean, if you want an extra point, you want it from the 1 yard line, he can take it the distance. I mean, this guy is a great running back, even a great kid, even better person off the field. So many humanitarian things he does. He picked up an offer from UTSA. Over the last couple of weeks, he's picked up several offers, and his stock is rising. So I think that any program that gets Kadrick Cobbs is going to get a hard worker, a guy that's going to be a team leader, and then a guy that's going to be a great asset to you in the community. Shout out to Kadrick Cobbs. Shout out to Eli Stowers. and the Guy Wildcats, coached by John Walsh. Now, let's talk about the Chaparrals a little bit. Austin Westlake came in. They were coming off a very, very successful season, 14-1, coached by, again, Todd Dodge, originally with South Lake Carroll, coached a little bit at North Texas in Denton. But the Chaparrals came into play. I was very impressed with their discipline. They made the plays they could have made. Even though the Cajun Cobs had, I think, around 150, 160 yards rushing, they made him work for those yards. They didn't let the Wildcats get in the end zone. They made the plays that they were supposed to make. And the Chaparrals showed big heart and discipline. And then at the end of the game, you could see that they really, really know that they played a really good team and a really good back, because they were giving Cajun Cobs a lot of high fives, a lot of pats on the back, attaboys, for the performance that he put on, even though he couldn't get the job done by himself. I agree with you, Matt, that definitely if Eli Stowers didn't go down, it might have been a different game. He started out running the ball very well and just came up short. And I think Guy is one of those teams that, depending on what kind of offseason they have for their underclassmen, they'll be right back in the mix. I mean, Eli Stowers is going to get healthy. He's going to rehab. Good thing he got the surgery out of the way early. So expect those guys to be back. And we're going to take a quick break. Again, this is Mark Henry, Matt Davidson with the Top Texas Prospect Show on the Lone Star Gridiron Network. We'll be right back to talk about the big game. All right, you are listening to the Top Texas Prospect Show on the Lone Star Gridiron Network. We thank you for joining us. We are wrapping up the state championships in the state of Texas. We're going to talk about the 6A Division I game, the big, big game, the big USA Today matchup, which featured Duncanville 15-0 and Galena Park North Shore, DFW versus H-Town, Dallas versus Houston. Let's go in on it, Matt. I'm going to give you the first shot at it. Go ahead and let's talk about this game. North Shore end up coming up victorious the second year in a row over Duncanville. It wasn't the last second heroics like last year, 31-17.
Yeah, it was much like the Denton Geyer situation where their quarterback went down in the game. Well, you know, Duncanville's quarterback went down in the game last week. So, yeah, they had a week and a half to prepare with a new quarterback, but, you know, it's not the same. You know, you wish you would have get to see J.J. DeQuinn and Jackson, the UT commit. You wish you would have been able to see him play against North Shore his senior year to get his rematch, but he was not able to play. So you saw the freshman phenom, Chris Parsons, young quarterback. He's got a bunch of offers already as a freshman quarterback. He's going to be a sophomore next year. Duncanville's in good hands for the future. They come up short. They had a fumble on a punt, I believe, and then they had a fumble with Chris Parsons running the ball, and those two turnovers turned out to be killers for Duncanville, turning into points for Galena Park North Shore. You know, you just have to tip your cap to Coach John Kay, able to keep his guys focused, keep his guys disciplined. Sent home five-star running back Zachary Evans before the game. I mean, oh my goodness. Like, that's a big storyline right there in itself. And they were able to stay focused and still come out and win the game against Duncanville. Duncanville's defense was good, but they just couldn't, you know, they kept on going out on the field. And Duncanville's defense, you know, all year they were stopping everybody, but if you're on the field the whole game, it's going to be hard to stay where you need to be. Kudos to North Shore for being able to win back-to-back state titles. That's a big deal. Duncanville, I will say the future is bright, and I think they'll be right back there along with Galena Park North Shore. We could see a three-peat rematch of the rematch of the rematch, because, you know, people forget they still have Kendrick Blackshear, a linebacker, number one in his class, coming back for Duncanville next season. And they just had another kid move in at Duncanville. I mean, The rich get richer. I mean, he moved over there. So, I mean, they moved into Duncanville. But, I mean, go ahead and talk a little bit about it, Mark.
Again, the final score in the 6A Division I matchup between Duncanville and Galena Park North Shore, 31-17. I mean, once we found out that Jaquinden Jackson was not going to play due to injury, we heard a lot about Chris Parsons coming up. In my opinion, I was telling everyone, several shows or just people that we talked to in general, that I thought Demetrius Davis would be the difference in the game, even without Zachary Evans, you know, his mishap being sent home. They played about two or three games earlier in the year, right after the Katy loss, without Zachary Evans. So I knew that Coach John Kay knew what he was doing here. This was about the team and not about an individual. And I think that Zachary Evans is a great player. But in football, it's about the team and not the individual. And I think Demetrius Davis made a statement in itself that he's a great player. And also, I was very, very impressed with the guy that was the backup quarterback that came in Roger Hagan. This kid ran the rock. He was number 15. He was running the rock. Demetrius Davis, Virginia Tech commit at quarterback. And he's coming back. He is going to be a senior next year. These two teams will be back in the mix for state here in Texas. I mean, you have two of the great coaches in John Kay. You have a Hall of Fame coach in Coach Reginald Samples. Deep down in my heart, I was really, really rooting for Coach Reginald Samples because he's been there with Lincoln before. He's had great Skyline teams, and this team was loaded. I mean, you got some of the best players in the country on the Duncanville team. Against Rockwall the previous week, Quentin Jackson goes down. I mean, he was a man amongst boys the whole year. You know, all state selection. Again, he signed with the University of Texas. So the cards lined up for this monumental matchup, and it didn't disappoint. You had over 47,000 fans in the stadium for this game. I mean, it was packed 3-year-olds up. Just picture that for a high school game. Some Division I football games in college don't get 47,000 fans, and this was for a high school game in Texas. This is what we are in Texas, what we do. The state of Texas does big things when it comes to high school football, and this was one of the shows that you shouldn't miss. I mean, it was a packed house. Of course, we were there. I think that North Shore used its running game and patience, and then they hit him with a couple of big passes over the top, which was a long pass from Demetrius Davis to a wide-open receiver, Charles King, for a long touchdown at the end. And there you have it. I mean, it's 31-17. It's a very close game. I thought that the young quarterback, Chris Parsons, for Duncanville played well, and he's the future. I mean, I see these guys being right back at it next year. If it's not the same two teams, depending on the realignment, I mean, I would love to see these guys play in the regular season if they don't meet in the playoffs. So, again, North Shore comes out on top 31-17. That is our wrap-up here for the 2019 season here at Top Texas Prospect Show. Matt, go ahead and give your final thoughts on the 2019 season, and we'll wrap it up.
Man, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners tuning in on every platform that we are on. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, the LSG Network, the Lone Star Gridiron Sports Network. Make sure you guys tune in. And we are creating our new podcast, the XFL Zone with MM. That's right, Mark and Matt. We have XFL podcasts, and we will be covering the XFL as well. It's a shameless plug for our XFL podcast show that we are doing. We just want to give a shout out to all of the young talent in Texas for Top Texas Prospects. We would like to thank all of you guys for coming on this year, and we would like to continue to have you guys reach out to us, and we will continue to bring on Texas athletes, Texas coaches. Anything we can find that will be a good story for you guys, and you know that's heartfelt, we're gonna do it. We're here to help out the student athlete. A lot of college coaches listen to us, and we'd hope to continue to build relationships and to continue to grow. And on behalf of the Top Texas Prospect Show, I'm Matt Davidson, and I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. This season has been awesome. We're looking forward to our next season.
All right, and there you have it. Again, this is Mark Henry, Matt Davidson. We are the Top Texas Prospect Show. Also, producer L.L. Mayer and the man behind the plan, Dan Keck, producer, and he's our all-around tech guy. They are part of Top Texas Prospect Show. We are Top Texas Prospect Show on the Lone Star Gridiron Network, the authority for high school football. Again, we appreciate you joining us. And tune in later, a couple of weeks, we have the realignment here in Texas. We'll be covering that. And with signing day in February coming up, we will start to have some recruits on to talk about where they're going and their decisions. Again, this is the Top Texas Prospect Show. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Top Texas Prospects Show. You can support us by subscribing to the show in your favorite podcasting platform. You can support the show by giving us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts and by sharing Top Texas Prospects Show. Our hosts are Matt Davidson and Mark Henry, produced by Lorelei Majernik. Audio and technical direction by Dan Keck.
Did you play Texas high school football? If you did, You're part of an elite group, the Brotherhood of Texas High School Football. All football players, past and present, who have ever suited up in the Lone Star State are eligible. Go to LoneStarGridiron.com/brotherhood. And thank you for the part you played in the greatest sport in the greatest state.